Please welcome Bob McCarthy.
Thank you, Kurt. Wiesla wanted me to mention that there is a session starting at 6 o'clock on 3D impulse measurement. So if I see you leaving at 6 o'clock, I'll know why, and I'll know who to blame, too. Okay, so I gotta get my, where's the video? There it is, okay.
I'll do it, you keep talking.
Okay, so I missed the memo on what this session is about. Past, present, and future, I already did that. I'm not gonna do that again. And what you have here instead is the paper I wrote that is very, very much just a singular past. It's one particular job. It's a case study of a installation in Indonesia. What do I do here? Slideshow, play from start. Okay, it's an installation in Indonesia, and we're going to go through it. I was able to design it and then able to tune it. A lot of times I tune other people's designs, and a lot of time other people tunes my designs, and this is one of those where I got to do both, which is my favorite thing because then you close the loop. Then I get to find out everything about my designs that worked and didn't work. Okay, so this is the basic picture here. I've talked before about partitioning of coverage, and this is sort of the main area. There was a side fill, a center fill, and under balconies, and front fills. That's in the horizontal. Then we had an upper mains, a lower mains. Here's my little side fill. Here's my under balconies. And I'm going to go through this a little more in detail, so we'll zoom in later. So here is the plan view. I look at a room that's got a left and right system, and I partition the room in half. That's the first thing. It says, okay, left speaker, your job is to do left. Right speaker, your job is to do right. If there's areas where they... where they want to talk to each other in the center, that's bonus points. But it's not that the left must prioritize to cover the left. So I look at that, and that's my shape that the left side needs to be, which happened to be, in this case, a 2-to-1 aspect ratio. It means twice as long the depth as it is wide, which means I need at least a 60-degree speaker to do that. The speaker that was available for other reasons of power scaling and for its vertical coverage is going to turn out to be around a 90-degree speaker, so I'm going to have 15 degrees extra on this way and a little 15 degrees extra on that way. But you can see it's a kind of a funny-shaped hall because instead of the traditional hall that is either stays the same rectangular width or splays outward, this hall pulls a little fun one on us and it splays out and then curls in. So we have an unavoidable thing. If I want to cover out here, which of course you want to do because they sold the seats, then you are going to find yourself wanting to tell your speaker, please go wide and then take a turn and then come back. Talk to the programmable experts about doing that. I don't know that one yet. So what we did was that my approach was to do a side fill speaker at a low level. So I partitioned that zone off so that the side fill speaker could cover that, and that way I can hit this area without having a strong hit in there and minimize that. Okay, so that's your basic layout. Here is a photograph of the room, which you can see has a balcony that you can't miss. Visually, it's quite strong. It's got some variegation on it, so that it did help to scramble the waves that hit it. But our approach with that size of balcony was to split the beam above and below. In order to do a good beam splitting with a mechanical array, as I'm learned in this seminar, this is a mechanical array, it's best to be near, to have the center of the array near the balcony so that it's easy to steer up and steer down. And that's the case here. You can see there's the under balconies. They're going to cover the area under here. The side fill is going to cover, here's a good view where you can kind of see the side fill area. You can see this crazy stuff that they put on the ceiling. It was very ineffective. Basically, it's some kind of soft tissuey rubber material that absorbs from about 4K on up. And everything else went through. They value engineered out all the fiberglass behind it. So it kind of looks quasi-acoustical, and it's really hardly better than a movie screen. And then went right onto concrete. This is unfinished, but that's my center subwoofer array, which is a five-box gradient cardioid array with three boxes going forward, two boxes going back, that gave a center-focused low frequencies. I'm a big fan of single sources on low frequencies. And then this is the downfill speaker that's going to cover the center area. Okay, so there's your main array. I told you it's positioned near the balcony height. So we got, I think it's 11 boxes. I don't know the exact count, but we got half of it going up, half of it going down, a little more than half going down, because you have a lot more angle to cover, a lot more angular spread needed to do the downside. Bada boom. That way you can pretty much see where the break is there. Okay. All right, so now let's move into the approach here. The vertical approach is that I wanted a 10-degree gap in coverage. I needed 8 degrees of coverage above at a ratio of 1.8 to 1. That means that the seats at the top are 1.8 times farther than the seats at the bottom. What's 1.8 to 1? What's that, about 5 dB, okay? So I needed 5 dB of steering on the top. On the bottom side, it's a much, much larger ratio. It's a 4 to 1 ratio. That's a 12 dB ratio of the farthest seats to the nearest seats. The U-Balk speakers will take a little bit of the weight off, since they'll be able to cover, at least provide half of the energy into that area. But I had a wider angular spread of 32 degrees and 4 to 1 ratio there compared to 8 degrees and 1.8 to 1. But you notice I don't have that much farther to throw at the top than at the bottom. They're very nearly the same distances to throw. So the splay angles that you'll see at the top of the lower section are very nearly the same as the one there. You see my lettering says A, B, C, D, E. What that designates to you, that system I was telling you about this morning, of you got your A plus B, this kind of thing. And so what that means is that I had 5 channels of processing, and they are A, B, C, D, and E. And so A and B are covering near and far on the balcony. C, D, and E are coming progressively down below. Side fill covers here. And okay. So here is my horizontal. Now, why do I aim this in 13 degrees? Because when you look at the situation, you find the midpoint depth and the width at the midpoint, and I aim the speaker so that it has equal parts overflowing onto the outside as overflowing to the inside, which meant a 13-degree inward splay. One of the battles for this particular room was a location, location, location battle because of the 1960 rule, which is still in place in Indonesia. They wanted the speakers way off of here, behind a scrim, and I had to show them graphically that if you did that, I would have to aim the speaker so far inward, because half of the pattern would be just blocked into cement, that basically the people on the right would listen to the left, and the people on the left would listen to the right, and the people in the back of the hall would listen to neither. And I said, and it's going to cost the same price. Okay? Okay? You're going to pay full. And so that finally, after a month of back and forth, the speakers just were like, they just surrendered, and boom, out go the speakers out there in plain sight where you can see. Okay? And they're very happy that their speakers are where they can hear them. So this is now the situation here. This one was aimed at plus 12 degrees, at plus 6, and you can see the splay angles here. And basically, I'm running 3 degrees at the top, then I do a 9-degree gap to get that spacing, and then return to 4 degrees, to where I told you that you're nearly running the same depth of the top boxes and the lower boxes. In case you're not seeing what I'm saying, there's that you take a box, you take 11 box or 10 boxes that are the same box. The way that you get them to steer is you do short angles, make them go deeper, and wide angles make them go shallower. So if you're going to throw a slightly less distance, then you should see that reflected in the numbers. And you can see that the numbers here going from 4 degrees to 10 degrees is almost a 3-to-1 ratio. I didn't get my full 4-to-1 that I would have liked to have gotten because the budget ran out of boxes. Otherwise, I'd like to see those numbers, those angles would reflect those ratios that you saw earlier. But I got myself down low enough so that I had enough angular spread to run from 9 to 37. There's enough to get me covered in here. I didn't cover all the way to the top so that, oh man, I don't know why that's doing that, but anyway, because I know I'm going to get rescue 911 from my under balconies. I'm checking on my time. How's my time?
You're good.
I'm good. Okay. So one of the things you got to figure out is, do you need these fill speakers? And I call this particular design the house of many fills. That's why I use this as this study, because it was a challenging one, because it needed so many little fills because they still forced us pretty far outside. So what you have to do now is you look at what your distance from your bottom box to the audience. And I needed to cover to the third row because that's how far I can count on my front fills. Otherwise, they run into heads and front fills die. So by the third row, I know I need to have my speaker, and that was 4.5 meters. Okay? So if I'm at a 3 meter, at the 3 meter depth from the front row, it's a 4.5 meter throw because of the lift, which means I had 6.3 meters of depth. So if I got a speaker up here and I go down, it takes me 4.5 meters to get there. I got 6.3 meters of speaker before I need to have somebody rescue me, either a center fill or the other side or a side fill. That's the way that it works. A 90-degree speaker is basically on the floor as a straight line, 1.4 times the distance that you got to throw. So I figured that by the time I reached 9 meters, which is about the ninth row, my gap was closed, and you can see I would have reached to the center box. So I've got this center triangle gap that I've got to close with that center fill speaker, because my 6.3 meters that you see right there is not going to make it. Okay, it's not going to make it to the middle of the hall to meet the right side, the right side. And so there you go. Okay, so there's my proof that I needed the center fill. And then we got to figure out, I want the center fill not to go all the way deep into the hall. I just want it to cover there. So that what gives me the size that I need for the center fill depth, which turned out to be around 50 degrees. He's going 9.5 is his depth, and a 50-degree speaker ends up what did I do with my numbers there? 7.6 meters, okay? Easy number to memorize is 60 degrees is a magic number. You go 10 meters with the 60-degree speakers, you got 10 meters of width. It's a one-to-one relationship. It's an equilateral triangle, simply put. Okay? So there's my story. I've got my nine... I got the width that I need there, so my center fill is going to cover there, and then he's going to have extra from there on out. But this is where I got to cover. Front fills make it to there, those guys cover to there. Okay. So now I've covered the Bermuda Triangle. He's all good to go. Okay. You can see this is sort of like how wide he is. Looking at him coming straight down, that's that 12 meters depth there, and there he is. And you see these designators now. These are now the places where I put microphones, such as on axis left, that's L, and off axis L, which is going out to the outside to see if I'm, did I make it to the end? And then XLR, what is that? That's not a connector, but it is a connection. It's the crossover point between the left and the right. And this is now going to also serve as XLC is right here. That's where the left connects to the center. And that's a misprint because I should say XRC. Aha. Okay. XLC then connects to the left, and XRC would connect center to the right. And these are all those connecting points, and these are places that we're going to measure with the mic, and I'm going to show you the data for that. So this is now the picture of the center fill with that 50-degree speaker covering its area. There's your one color is 3 dB, another color is 6 dB. You can see I just make what I need to do. And this is a 2D thing, so that's not, this is like lifted up here. This is much higher than these, but basically that's what's covered this gap. So now with these data points, now I can verify in the field that I will connect the center and the mains. And then after that, the mains will take it from there. These are the front fills. How is the front fill spacing done? It's done by that same method. If I've got, I got a 90-degree speaker, so I measure to my first row, and then you know what your spacing is. If it's 1 meter, it needs to be, if 1.4 meters, you need one meter spacing. You'll get 1.4 width for a 1 meter depth. And so the underbalks were 80-degree speakers. That's a 1.25 multiplier, and you can see each of those has an on-axis and a crossover to make sure that they meet each other. And then, of course, they've got to meet the mains. That's where you delay and do them, and you can see that shown on this one, okay? And you see this guy here called Gold. That's my Gold reference point. That's the place where we took and we declared that the response there was going to be what everybody was going to match. And that was done after we started to work on the mains on the balcony. Okay, so this is now looking at the downfill. This is actually shows you a good connection of the left and the center as they hit the ground. And you can see that we made that connection. Without it, left does not meet right, it would gap. And then here is this side field area. Side field needed just be a small speaker because it only needed to cover this very outside area, which we were basically skimming over with the mains vertically and horizontally. We were too close. So it's just a little side fill baby speaker. It can't harm you because it's turned down nice and low and level. Even though you go, oh my God, you're going to hit the walls. It's like, hey, if a speaker's turned off, it can't excite the walls, right? Well, if it's turned 10 dB down, it can excite the walls, but it's a dull party. And that's the deal to remember. Okay? So this is your subwoofer array. I told you got your plus, minus, plus, minus, plus thing. And you can see how greatly that fit into the room, and it fits nicely vertically and horizontally, and a real nice single coherent source in a room that has is not terribly forgiving. Remember, it just has fake acoustics. So now this is the data, okay? That's my Gold trace at 72 milliseconds, and I'll give you all, what I'll do is always put all the distances on there, okay? And so what you see now is this is the Gold trace, and this is the combined EQ, and you're seeing it inverted. When I do the EQ, I turn it upside down because it makes it so that I can easily match. And you can see this is what I call the room curve and the EQ curve, the inverse EQ, and you can see that we took out not everything, because this is, I think this is on-ax B, the very front has a bit of a bump there, but above 400 cycles, everybody is totally online at between 42 milliseconds and 30 and 72 milliseconds. So that's the top, the hall versus the front of the balcony. This is now working our way, where am I now? On XC. So now I'm at the back of the lower level versus the upper level. Or it doesn't sound right. On XC shouldn't be 39 milliseconds. D, okay, 24. So I'm okay, yeah, there we go. We're zero. I'm working my way closer. B, C, D, E. And what you see now, as each one of these gets closer, see the milliseconds go down, everybody's against Gold. But you do, even though I'm down to 13 milliseconds, I'm holding the same response. Now, I've pushed it 2 dB, so it's 2 dB louder down here. But the spectral response is very closely matched, okay? And that's what you're working for. So we let the level creep up a little bit when we got close, but we kept the same spectrum. There's a certain point where you just can't fight it anymore. This is how the horizontal aim was done. This is off-axis is the green versus the center of the room. Remember I told you I'm going to reposition it until it's putting the same part at the center as the outside. Because people don't think about the left and the right as a reflection, but that's what it is. It's just like a wall. In fact, it's an acoustically super reflective wall because the right side totally gets through to the left side. It's like a perfect mirror. So that's just as bad of a reflection from an intelligent point of view as the wall. In fact, worse. So there you go. I swiveled the horizontal until we got those guys to match. And there we are. The off-axis has more low end. Why? Because it's against a physical wall. But I made the high ends match. And you can see the coherence is really good on the XLR because it's out there in the air. This is now underneath the balcony. And under the balcony is an interesting one because you have to first ask the question, do we even need you? That's the first thing, question I ask of under balconies. It's like, can I fire you? Because if they are not needed, then they're just going to screw things up. So what I looked here was the mains and delays. Oh, here it is, the versus the gold, okay? So the end product that I want is to match the gold. And so did I, this isn't, C1, that's who I should have. C1, there it is. My slides are out of order, I'm sorry. So here's my evaluation for it, preparing for combination. I'm looking at the gold, the main guy, and saying, okay, versus the delay alone, okay? And they're about equal in terms of capability. If the delays couldn't deliver better direct to reverberant ratio than the mains, then they're going to get fired. But they can. But what you see now is look at how much the mains have all this tons of low end, and these other guys are flat. Well, that's because the mains are going a long distance and going under a balcony, and the delays are little baby speakers that are close by. So what's going to happen when they combine is nothing is going to happen here. People think, oh my God, I got to cut all the low end out of this. Look, when they added them together, nothing happened in the low end because they're already almost 20 dB down, 15 dB down. But in the up here, you can see now they're going to come together. And so you can see that the combination, I got to go to C2, yeah. So this is delay, this delay alone is the blue, and then with the combination with the mains, brought it up here. And what I'm showing you in this one, whoops, I got to go back on C3. This is the combination versus gold. So this is, the gold is above, and this is now below, and the combined with the delay brought it exactly up to where I wanted to be. If you notice, it was down below before, but when I combined it, so I got the delays to just come in and provide you what was missing. It's a real simple thing. People think they have to turn delays up to some till you can hear them. You just have to turn them up to where they can add enough to bring you up to your gold standard. You don't have to make the under balcony seats the loudest seats in the hall. You have to make them the samest seats in the halls. Okay? And that's how you do it. Okay? All right, so I've done that. Okay, now this is the side fill area. Okay? And so the side fill area was a bit of a mess over there. What was coming from the mains is the green trace. You can see the green is all tattered up, and it's the one with the low coherence. Why? Because it's way off on its side of its axis. And so then that little baby speaker was like, hey, baby, I can handle this. He was in much better shape. He's the one with coherence sitting up at the top of the screen saying, yeah, baby, I'll give you direct. I'll give you lots of direct. And so when you brought them together, boom, it brought it right up to the gold standard. And look at the coherence. The coherence is right up with the gold standard. So what we've done is we've made our goal of not only making it the same level, but the same spectrum and the same amount of intelligibility. And that's all there on that screen for you to see, the things that I talked to you about before. Now here you go to the center fields, like putting all the pieces of the puzzle here. You know, I can't tell you how many times people say to me, no, you don't really like put the mic in all those places. And it's like, you think I just make the shit up and put it in the books? God. Yes, I put the mics there. Okay? So here we go. Center fill and mains versus the center fill alone. You can see what we're doing there. It's not taking a lot. Okay? And then the center fill and the mains against the gold standard. Boom. That's at that point that I told you about, the crossover of left versus center. And you can see we're able to get that right on the gold standard. So, you know, that's the story there. This is the front fill. That's not very exciting, but there's just a case of that EQ curve. Oh, this is the thing that's interesting about this one is, you know, I cut 6 dB of high-end out of the front fills, which might seem really strange. Like, oh, my God, why did you do that to that innocent little speaker? The reason is that he's the one that's going only through 3 meters or 2 meters of air, and he's got little tiny dome tweeters that talk to dogs. Nobody else has that. I call them bacon fills if you leave them alone. So you have to bring those guys down to the standard. If the standard is going through this much air and you're not going and making them go out to light, then you got to make your front fills and your delay fills and these things. Everybody's got to come down because you can't have this thing. And you'll see this in front fills or in underbalks. I love it in the underbalks. And it goes like this, like boom, 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 because the sibilance goes flying up to the underbalks or sizzling away in there. So there you go. And so here we go, front fills plus the center fill plus the mains. Here's the whole shooting match, okay? This because it's quite a traffic jam down there in the front where the front fills and the center fill and the mains. And it was, you know, a pretty twisted set of how we're going to do these delays. And you do the delays once you find out where the levels fall, because the whole deal about delay is get your level distribution, then set your delay to make it the places where they match in level, make those places match in phase. And so you can see this is really fun. 72 milliseconds, that's my gold, versus 8 milliseconds, that's my front fills. Boom. Okay? Now it's 4 dB louder. Okay, but it's a perfect spectral match. So if you're in that second row, it's louder, but you are spectrally matched, and there you go. You're delivered the same show. You just get the, and it should be a little louder because you're going to have to compete with more on the stage. It's one of the things you don't want to necessarily have the front row be the same level because it's going to be competing with more spill on the stage. And then the last guy here, this is that gradient stack, and this is just the picture of the front and the back, and there they are 180 degrees apart, and that was great fun climbing. What I'm saying is the front and the back, it's the front coming around to the rear and the back coming to the rear up inside that stinking soffit there, which... if you read the paper, you'll say how happy I was to get the hell out of there as soon as we were done with this measurement. Okay, and that's, how about that? David, are you still here? Is David gone? Oh, too bad. Oh, I have one more little funny story on David's thought. He showed that B&K slide on, he said, on the measurement thing, he said, and this came out shortly, like after the sim, the B&K, we invited the B&K analyzer guys down to Meyer Sound, like within weeks after we started sims, like because they're analyzer people, and we showed it to him, and this guy said, this is not valid, this can never happen, that's not, you will never get a non-causal signal, non-correlated, this is impossible, and they almost got in a fist fight. We like pretty much had to just like, you're gonna have to go now. And then a month later, see what shows up in the news is an advertisement. Oh yes, our new analyzer developed to do live sound. I have a copy of that. It's just like, oh really? Yes, it was 2032 was specifically developed for this purpose. See, it has this capability. Oh really? really? That's nice. But anyway, thank you all. Thank you, Kurt, for hosting. Thanks, David. Thanks,
Niels.
That was very fascinating. I enjoyed your talk very immensely. Okay.
One question.
Oh, please. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But you never equalize for that?
No, I wouldn't equalize for that. I would just warn people. And we might, if I see something really grievous, that might cause me to say, you know, we need to rethink angles or something like that. But EQ is not a viable solution for that in my estimation. I know, but if it was something really grievous, something really terrible, then we might have to reconsider the level distribution. We might have to say we're going to need more side fills or less center fill or that kind of distribution. But I wouldn't go and try to notch that out of the EQ because you'd leave a hole in there.
All right, please. That was great. Thanks, Bob.